Okay, this week, we've got a big week as we lead up to Passover, okay, and understanding what we're walking into and how we celebrate this first feast of the year. And last week, I was thinking aloud as I was talking about these things, but what we've done is we have presented for you, okay, something that you can take. I've printed 30 copies because the rest of them we are going to WhatsApp, okay? So if you can do it on WhatsApp and don't have to take a printed copy, you can take it that way around. Most people should be able to get a PDF on the WhatsApp. If you don't, we will take screenshots and create photographs for you on the WhatsApp group. But this is basically a guide for you to follow. And what we're going to be doing now, and just to give you a little breakdown of what the weekend will look like. Okay, what we're going to do on Wednesday evening, when Passover starts at sunset, is that we are going to encourage folks to gather in your homes on Wednesday night. You can invite people to come to your place. You can just do it as a family. You might be staying with other folk in the house. Whatever that is, we're encouraging you because what's our slogan? We're making our homes a place of His presence. Okay, we live and exercise our mandated priestly authority through holiness and purity. We're a family as an army. So we're going to encourage you to do this in your homes. And we've given you something that you can follow and understand and read, understanding what Passover is. Okay, what scriptures that follow from the Exodus passages to the first Passover that the Lord instructed Moses to do. Then speaking about the Last Supper that Jesus celebrated with His disciples and took communion with them and broke bread and explained, "This is my body." And explaining to them that the truth of Passover became real right in front of them. They suddenly realized He's inviting us into a marriage covenant now. And realizing that through His death, He was the Passover lamb that was going to pay the price. This is what we're celebrating now. And then just give you some details about the unleavened bread for the week that goes from Thursday right up until the following Thursday sunset. And then first fruits, which is actually next week Sunday morning. Okay, which ends up being Resurrection Sunday for us. And then we've got some Thanksgiving points for you and also some prayer points for you as a family. Now, just to say to you, it's not doing church at home. Okay, you're not going to sit your family in a row and they're all going to listen to you and they're going to listen. You have to take turns to maybe to read sections of passage, get the kids to pray, get people just to kind of share their hearts about understanding. And yes, the main thing with this, folks, the more you do this, the repetitiveness, because if you look in our worlds, okay, how we've grown up, the repetitiveness of Christmas and Easter has made it very normal for us. It's just repetitive. You grow up with it every year, but we are breaking an understanding that those patterns are actually not biblical patterns. We are following the biblical pattern, so it's quite new. In doing these things, the more you do it, it becomes repetition and it becomes more and more beautiful the more you do it. Okay, I'm not going to share more about Passover. It's all in this document. Okay, so read through it before and then just sit as a group, sit as a family, sit as a people on a Wednesday night and just honor the Lord. Because that was the night He was with His disciples. And the following Thursday, He died before sunset. Okay, that's still Passover. Because remember, the Jewish people celebrate from the evening, okay, to the following day is the day. It starts at night, okay? And this gives you full details of everything you need to follow. So, to highlight again, we are not doing a Thursday night meeting. We will not do a Good Friday meeting, okay? The meaning we don't do a Good Friday meeting because nowhere in the Bible does it say that you actually have a meeting on the Friday morning, okay? It speaks of the Passover festival. So we're trying to be biblically correct and accurate. Okay, so Saturday then what will happen is the worship team will be here from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. You've got time and space. So I just want to chew the halls. Kathleen and I and our family have been proper sick this week. This week was not fun in our house. Kathleen's not here today. The chest, it hasn't been fun. But we are. Okay, but Saturday will give you space and time to come and just be before God. And just to be quiet and come and meditate, come and pray, come and thank Him, come and be before Him from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Saturday. The band will be here. And then on Sunday, we will gather and we will celebrate Resurrection Sunday together as a people. Okay, and understanding the goodness of God. Now, the thing with the feast, the sub-feast of unleavened bread is for 7 days. It's basically from Wednesday night till Thursday next week. there's no particular pattern or order that you have to follow for it. It's really the understanding, the lack of leaven in the bread is talking about sin and evil. So be conscious of the freedom that you have in God, that He's paid a price for your sin now, folks. And you walk in freedom. That's the beauty of it. And so we might do something where I might reflect over those 7 days on the seven I ams that Jesus' statements He gives in John. I am the bread of life. I am. And that's the truth that we carry and that we hold on to now. Okay, and then Sunday evening, men, we will gather next week as a group of watchmen declaring and watching over as we finish our Passover kind of weekend and that together. Okay, Wendy, I'm going to leave it. Okay, just with time. I'm just going to leave it. Or you're going to be 5 minutes. You can be 5 minutes. There we go. 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
Thank you. Sorry,
right. So I came from a traditional church. My husband would say, start the watch. So we've got 5 minutes.
Stop.
I came up from a church where on this Sunday, we would all bring palm branches in to our meeting place. And we would, too traditional to dance, but wave the palm branches because this is the day that we would celebrate that Jesus came into Jerusalem. And as you're reading through the account of the Passover and what Jesus, what the Lord tells Moses to tell the people to do at that first Passover, He says, take the lamb into your home and for 5 days, look at it and check it out that it is actually legit. It's unblemished. It's got nothing wrong with it. Okay, and so that was the very day that Jesus came into Jerusalem. And if you read in the Gospels, it says, for those days afterwards, the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were looking at Jesus, trying to figure out something that they could find, something that they could accuse Him for, but they found nothing. Hallelujah, they found nothing. All right. So on Wednesday night, I want to encourage you. Yes, I want to first of all prepare you and say, when you start something new, it's like starting to ride a bicycle. It's like starting to train for a marathon. The muscles don't feel that great. It feels a little bit like shaky. It feels a little bit like, it needs a little bit of oil. So I just want to say, as you start these things with your family, please pray. Please pray. Because I can tell you that in our home, sometimes all hell breaks loose when we are starting something new and we're trying to do these things in our home because it's counterculture. The first place of communion that we have as a community where we celebrate Jesus together is in our homes. So when we try and do it in our homes, it becomes really, really difficult. And so if it feels strange and it feels awkward, it's because it is. It's not familiar yet. So don't be surprised if there is a little bit of like, okay. And if the kids are like, why are we doing this? Why can't we just go to church on Friday? Okay. So kids, you need to help your parents. You need to tell them to tell you the story. Go to John chapter 13. That's where it is. That's where Jesus is. And He's reclining at the table. It's so fun. Guys, when last did you lie at the table? Hello? When last did you lie down at the table? I don't remember the last time. Just make sure if your grandparents are with you that you help them get up at the end of the meal. Okay. So don't worry, Harold. Ben's there. Okay. All right. So when we go through John chapter 13 and we read what Jesus did. We put the unleavened bread on the table so it reminds us that Jesus was without sin. We put the grape juice on the table so that it reminds us that His blood was shed for us. And then we tell the story. Just read through John chapter 13 where it says Jesus after supper, He tucked His garment in, and then we wash feet. And so I want to challenge the men who are standing for their families and the priests in their home. This is your time, guys. This is your time to play Jesus. You get the water, you get the soap, you get the towel, you tuck it around your waist, and you wash your family's feet. And I can tell you it's really, really powerful. It's ticklish as well. So it's okay to giggle. Don't worry about it. I'm sure Peter did or Thomas or one of them.
I doubt Thomas.
Right. Okay. So wash one another's feet. Pray for each other like Jesus did. Pray that you're able to stand when everyone around is failing, when falling. The Lord says, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? So this is not about trying to do other things. It's not about trying to add a heavy load of, oh, now we have to do this as well. No, this is so that you understand what Jesus did for you. Every festival has four, I'm finishing, I'll land, don't worry. Every festival has four reasons. It has a physical enactment. So Passover really happened. The Jews really went through the Red Sea. They really put the blood on their doorposts. And then it has a Jesus fulfillment. What did Jesus do in order for us to enter in? Then it has a us fulfillment. Jesus has put the blood on the doorposts of our lives. And that is why we are able to do what we did today. We are able to have such a hope. We're able to pray with conviction and authority because of what he did. And then it has a spiritual, like in the heavenly realms, fulfillment. Okay, that's another teaching. But anyway, okay, Sheldon's getting antsy. If you want to know any more, come and chat to us. But be blessed as you celebrate. It's not about a heavy, it's a celebration. Jesus died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. And because of that, we have life.
Yeah. 4 minutes and 32 seconds. Well done. Yeah. See, the beauty of this repetitiveness, actually, as you do it more, the beauty of something comes out of it. You see, it's not the point. It's not just to, okay, we read and go through. He's told us to do this now. He's told us to do that. And then what do we do now? I don't know. This is why we have the Holy Spirit to lead us. And you are taking a moment to honor and walk with the Lord in your homes and do stuff. Okay. And I'll be honest with you, you know, and I honor you as a congregation that sit in front of us. You know, we as an eldership, we speak about these things. Our hearts are aligned in wanting to do these things the right way and to do what God is showing us to do. But you know, the most kind of flack and the most kind of questions I've got is from people outside of the Bay who are actually also other church leaders. That they're going, what do you mean you follow all these feasts? What do you mean? That you can see. And so if I'll be very honest with you, like, you have to have a strong conviction that you are doing this according to not what man are requiring, but how the Lord is leading us into it. And I'm human too. I have my doubts. And I'm thinking, like, are we leading these people in the right way? Sure, Lord, are we doing the right thing here? Okay, because I'm a human and I have feelings. And I'm like, Lord, I want to be making sure, because this is not the norm of the pattern that we're following here. The whole world is running around celebrating Easter now and buying thousands of Christmas eggs. You can have Easter eggs. It doesn't matter, but it's not in that stuff. Okay, we're getting the truth and the essence of what we're doing. So I really encourage your time in your homes on Wednesday night is a blessed time and a joyous time. And be aware the enemy hates what we're doing, eh? He hates the stuff because it's about unity and about standing together and about it being in agreement in what God is doing. So as we finish up here this morning, I woke up this morning with kind of these words in my heart. And not that I had any sermon prepared or anything kind of happening down, but the Lord just said to me, it was like as I was in my slumber of awakening, he says, I have my seal upon you. My seal is upon you. And I'm like, wow, that is so assuring. Because the seal of the Lord is like if he sets that order into something, it's his. You know, if you send something in a letter and you seal it, it's posted, meaning it's that person's, but it's got your mark on it. And that's old times. The kings used to do that stuff. And I just want to read this passage as we kind of go from here, because I'm aware there's the kids, there's a lot happening. And that in Paul's writing to Timothy and reminding him as being a worker approved for the Lord, and he's reminding of these things to charge them. Don't quarrel about words which do no good but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself. So this is 2 Timothy 2 from 14. Do your best to present yourself as one approved, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irrelevant babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Clearly these guys were talking nonsense, and it led them into kind of all sorts of stuff. Who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already begun. That's 2,000 years ago. Guys were already taking the words and twisting it into truth that they thought were real and stuff. They are upsetting some of the faith. And it says this in verse 19. But God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. The Lord knows that you are His. And it says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Now we are walking into the feast of unleavened bread, which is about sin. And you see, and you're realizing, like, my sin has been dealt with. I walk in this freedom as holy and presented. And it says there, so that you will be a good worker for the Lord. You can be effective for Him when you deal with these things through the power of what He's got and He's done through the blood. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Call on the Lord with a pure heart. Beautiful. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servants must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. And it says about those people that oppose and stand, correct them gently, but it says this, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. How's that? Captured by the enemy to do his will. They'll be set free from those snares. And talking about believers with that stuff too. And that, but then it goes on to chapter 3 and says, but understand this, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, and it just gives that list of all the things we will see happening. See, we are a set apart people. We are entering this first feast as a time now where we honor the Lord with our lives, knowing that you have the seal of approval on your life. The verse that links to that, I'll read this verse here quickly. It's in John 10, 14. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they must listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. And he's speaking of us Gentiles that would be included. Now we approach this feast being included, knowing that the seal of the Holy Spirit is upon you. See, as the reality is that when you are marked, I've been watching programs on farming and listening to Morton up in Malawi getting his first crop. Farming, man alive, it's a different thing. You are trusting so much of the uncontrollables, like the weather. But when you have cattle, those cattle are marked. Those cattle were seared with a mark so that they knew which farm these cattle belonged to. We heard a story when we were in Oz a couple of years ago that all the flooding and all the rain that took place, a cow was found on the beach 40 kilometers away from the farm because he got washed away in the river. But he was alive and he just went for like a swim, you know, nappy run, they call it, down the thing. But they knew exactly where he came from because he had a mark. They clip their ears or they sear them. And they knew exactly where the farmer was and they could take it back to the farmer. No matter how far you feel, you have drifted from the truth of the Almighty God. No matter how sinful you might feel sitting here, no matter how rough the season and the weathers that are playing in your world right now, no matter how tough they are, it doesn't change the seal. It doesn't change the approval that you have that you're His. You belong to Him. And nothing will change that. That assurance of that you are the King's son or daughter. You've been adopted at his very own. May that be an assurance for you as we walk into this feast and understanding, knowing that Jesus has done this complete work for us and you're his. Because there's another part of the word that gives reference to that passage where he says, marked with a seal. And it speaks about the sons of Korah in number 16 when they opposed Moses and Aaron. And he gives a proposal to them and say, okay, cool, you're going to take your censers and let's see who the Lord is for. And put your censers in the fire, all 250 of them, and we'll see who the Lord will decide who's here. And the whole story goes on, and it says to Moses, separate yourself from those people. Okay, and then the earth literally swallowed up his whole family, Korah and his whole family. Okay, because they knew who they were. They were opposing the truth. See, the beauty is you belong. No matter how far you feel you've gone, no matter how the depth of things you had, God is with you and he's for us. Amen. Come, let's stand together as we go from here this morning, knowing the seal of approval is upon you. So just a reminder, if you do not have WhatsApp and you will struggle to have a copy on WhatsApp, there's printed copies here. You can come and collect up front here. And then as we enter into this week together. So Father, we want to thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we have legislated in the Spirit this morning, declaring over our roads, Father, we pray we will see evidence of these prayers. We thank you. We do it by faith. We don't do it out of hope. We do it in a faith that your Spirit works in and through us, Almighty God. And so, Father, as we enter this feast this week, we pray that as we are sitting in our homes on Wednesday evening, we will truly know the power of your presence manifest with us as we operate in our priestly and mandated duty in our homes. So, Father, we pray you bless us. And as we gather here next Sunday to celebrate the risen Lord and King, who we are now sealed by the power of your Holy Spirit, knowing we belong to you. And I say over you this morning, folks, no matter how far you've gone, no matter how desperate the season in your life is, the Lord's seal is upon you. His approval is upon you. So we part here with blessing, with favor, and your life over our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Be blessed, and we will see those on Saturday. That'll be on Saturday.